we're going to now go back to our conversation with James Devenny from the CDP in Letterkenny. We were speaking to James with regards to an event that's taking place in the Courtyard Shopping Centre in Letterkenny on Wednesday of next week in conjunction with World Suicide Prevention Day. James, well, welcome back to the programme. Tell us about the way this event, Changing the Narrative About Suicide, is going to work.
It's going to work starting at 1 p.m. in the main offices of Letterkenny CDP in the courtyard. At 1 p.m. we will have the opening address, but then the first thing we'll be doing is we have a panel discussion with three people with lived experience of a suicide bereavement, focusing mainly on the recovery element of it, the recovery element of how we've come from, how people have gone through the grieving process, what help they used, what supports they've used locally, but also what also they would have liked to have had in place during their journey as well. There are three people that have been through their own individual bereavement journey. We're not saying they've come out the other end, but they have certainly moved along and used the help and are in a much better place today and would like to pass that message of hope on to other families and people in the community that, yes, you can recover. The second part then is we were having a memorial service for people lost to suicide as well, where family members, professionals, people can meet, and we have a ceremony there where we can remember those people as well, where we can put names onto a tree of hope, what we call, and people can, that they're still with us, they're still in our mind, they're still in our memory, but it's also building towards hope. And the third part then, we have another panel discussion where we have people working in local services, people that have a lot of experience in the field. And the theme of that discussion will be changing the narrative around suicide. We have a representative from Pieta House. We have somebody from Psychiatric Services in Letterkenny. We have somebody from Donegal Youth Services. We're trying to capture as many voices within the community that have a vested interest in their own community and offering help and what can be changed, but also what we have on offer to local people in the community.
This is all taking place, James, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the CDP office there on the top floor of the courtyard. Go in from the main street, just walk straight in, and it starts on the right. But as I was saying to you off air, every time you go in there, it just seems the CDP office is just getting a little bit bigger. You're taking over more and more units.
it's growing all right, Donal, in there. It's growing all right in there. And there will be tea and refreshments there after the event as well. And there will be people, we will have an information stand there with information on local services that's there. And we will have people there. If somebody is finding it difficult on the day, there will be people there too that they can have a word with on the day as well.
And it's something that it may well be challenging for some of the people that do arrive there. But as you say, support's going to be there, help's going to be there. And hopefully people will get some solace from it, perhaps some more information from it. And maybe what people will also get from it is the realisation and the confirmation that they're not alone.
They're not alone, and they're also that there is hope there that, yes, in their darkest hour, that there is a journey of recovery afterwards. I know when I was going through it and very early in my own grief recovery journey, I thought this was never going to end. If one more person had have come and said to me, you know, time's a great healer, James. And I thought, if one more person says that to me, you won't have any time left. You know, but I know now today from using the help and time, and if we can offer hope to one family member and one person within the community, our day will be a success.
James, it's a really important event. It's really going to be a really important day. And it's as we say, it's in the courtyard. It's upstairs in the courtyard on the 10th of September. That's Wednesday of next week from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. There's more details, obviously, online. We'll put the details up on our own web pages and site as well. But for the moment, James Devenny, we wish you all the best with it. And we hope all goes well and that people do get something and that you do succeed in that quest to, as you said, change the narrative. James, thank you.
Lovely, Donald. Thank you.
Just looking at the screen on our Zoom feed from Aaron Moore. Lads, not only is it not raining, Greg has got the shades on. Greg, you're looking good, you're looking cool.
I have indeed, yeah, we've got the shades on. The weather has held out and, you know, you might be forgiven for thinking Aaron Moore is flat if you didn't know the island, but I can tell you it's not. We're about a quarter of the way through, I would say. This is day 5 of the Donegal Camino. Let's not forget last year, in total, 279,200. 280,000 effectively has been raised for Cancer Care West Support Centre Letterkenny over the course of the last number of years. And all of this was the brainchild of a very special lady, and Peggy joins me now. Peggy, did you ever think it would come to this, that it would become a staple of the calendar, that it would get the recognition of a specific day by Donegal County Council, that it would create such sort of happiness around an issue that can create so much sadness as well?
Absolutely not. I started the Donegal Camino in the middle of COVID. We got 2 weeks where we got out of Dublin, and I used to go on the Camino abroad, and I thought, well, if I can't go abroad, I'm going up to Donegal and I'll just start my own Camino. I started with five people, and today we have 149 people walking today, and in total for this week we have over 700 people walking, and that's 700 people who are affected by some cancer journey. You know, there's nobody on this Camino that hasn't either survived cancer, is on a cancer journey, or walking it for somebody. And that's why out there we want everybody to put their hand in their pocket and donate to our Cancer Care Fund. Just go into I Donate and please, please help us. Every penny counts. You don't have to be putting in large amounts. Everybody just put their hand in their pocket, get into I Donate, and please help us to fundraise for the Cancer Care Centre, which is does enormous work for the people in Donegal who are affected by cancer and on that cancer journey.
Yeah, and the Camino too is interesting, and just marking the cards for people next year. You don't have to do all of the days. There's lots of people dip in and dip out. There's others that do all the days. There's people travel here and sort of pick the couple of days that they want to do. It's incredibly inclusive. You know, there's people here from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds. So I would encourage anyone, though it does sell out very quickly, if you can, to get involved next year.
Absolutely, and we will be opening the registration, I'd say, in late March, early April, and I do suggest that you get in there quickly, and because this year the days we can only take roughly 100 people every day, and it's the first 100 in, and it's not everybody, as you say, is walking 7 days. People might just pick one day, you know, they might have something special to celebrate on that day, or an anniversary or something, or they can walk 7 days, and it starts up in the lovely Inishowen and it ends down in Sleeve League. So pick 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, whatever suits your stage of life and whatever you're able to walk for.
Brilliant stuff, Peggy. Sharon is with us. Peggy, sorry. Sharon's with us as well. Sharon, you are our a third-time participant.
That's right, yes. This is my third year now in a row. For 2 years, I've done 2 days each week, and this year now, this is my third day. I'm doing the Donegal Camino. All funds are in the aid of Cancer Care West, Letterkenny, and it's a charity very close to my heart. I myself was diagnosed with breast cancer in September 2022. I had a lumpectomy in November 2022, just 1 week before my 50th birthday. I am doing really well. When I had my biopsy, my sample was sent to America, where they do an oncotype test, which determines whether you will need chemotherapy or not. But I got a good score, and I did not need any chemotherapy, and all I needed was 2 weeks radium and Alton Galvin. I am so well, and I have been really lucky because thanks to my breast surgeon for finding my lump, because I had a mammogram. What happened, I had pain in my right breast, and I went to my GP, but it was 6 months later before I got my appointment in Letterkenny. But I didn't think anything, you know, was wrong. But then when I went over, they discovered a new doctor, Vergala, who'd done the mammogram. Mammogram didn't show anything, but my surgeon, Dr. Vergalis, discovered my lump, and it was very early stages, but I have to say he probably saved my life. My journey with cancer, I, as a family, have been very unfortunate. I've lost four of my siblings to cancer. My youngest brother when he was 13 in 1990, my sister Fanula in 2008, my brother Brendan in 2013, then my dad and my brother Ronan died one day apart, January the 2nd, 2021, and January the 3rd, 2021, both with cancer, both having palliative care around, although one living in Donegal Town, one living in Killybegs.
That's so difficult, and I'm so sorry that you've had to go through that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine what it did to, and this is where it's sort of like the likes of the counselling services, the talking services at Cancer Care West Donegal would have helped, because you must have went through a period of time when you thought, you know, and I don't mean this insensitive, but were the writings on the wall, or it must have been particularly difficult for you to process given your family history. And I'm delighted to say you look fantastic. And you're healthy as a trout, right?
Thank
but
you.
Just dealing with it and not knowing that. We know it now, but you wouldn't have known that then at that time.
Yes. Well, firstly, just I want to say I'm not forgetting my brother Ronan, who died in 2021, the day before Daddy. His son, Darren, my nephew, died in February 2006, age 7. So I'm definitely not forgetting six family members. But what you're saying, yes, the Cancer Care West services, I just don't know what I could have done without them. I started going straight after my radium treatment, and first of all, John Donoghue, counsellor, I'd done some sessions with John, which were so beneficial. I go over on a monthly basis from September to June each year since, and I have made the most amazing friends. Big shout out today to Myra and Kathy, who are doing the walk along with me today again.
Well, they've left us, if the truth be told.
They've left us, yes. But I use the Tai Chi, Philip Tai Chi services, and Elaine, the lymphatic drainage. I hope I'm not forgetting Patricia, who is always there to answer all the clerical kind of making appointments. And
so it's fair to say then that this service in Letterkenny is part of your life now, really, isn't it? I mean, obviously you owe a lot, but in terms of ongoing, you know, you're processing everything and your future, it's intertwined with you.
Exactly. I have no intentions of stopping going there anytime soon. I asked John one day how long am I able to go there for, but he didn't give me an answer yet.
I don't think he's going to chuck you out.
Yeah.
Listen,
okay,
Sharon.
Very, very positive. I just wish more people, I know several people who have been through cancer, and I'd be thinking to myself, they don't know what they're missing by not coming over and knocking on that door. It might be very hard in the beginning, but not knocking on that door, the welcome you get from day one, it's just unbelievable. And I'm so thankful to everybody.
Listen, Peggy, you have it down to a T in terms of raising money, and people are really, really generous. You know, part of what we're doing here is actually to try and increase awareness of the actual facility being there, and the word is getting out, it's busy and what have you, but you know, you don't need to suffer on your older in silence, and that's what today's all about. It's about raising money so that it can be there, but it's about raising awareness so people know it's there.
Yes, today, for this week already, we've hit the 100,000.
Wow.
Our target is 150. I'm very confident that we will meet that with your help out there. I'm confident that we will get to 150. Thousand on this and rising.
Okay, brilliant stuff, Peggy. Come on, let's go. Right, we're gonna head back on. Do you want to lift in the car? Is that not cheating?
No.
We're being offered a lift, but only to catch up.
Only to catch up.
Yeah. Right, okay, it's not cheating. All right then, I'll join you in a second. Okay, just to remind you, please, if you can, donate. You can donate through the 9 till noon show, Highland Radio, idonate.ie/fundraiser/GregHughes1. Give us a call at the radio station, 07491 25000. We can process a donation there, or drop money in. And you know, the wonderful people of Aranmore, they've been so welcoming to us, and we've got a couple of hundred quid just handed to us in notes and envelopes as well. Kathleen, who I'm sure is listening, hope she is, she very generously give us an envelope. I haven't opened it yet, but I'm sure it is going to be really, really generous. So please, if you can, help us donate. But particularly, you know, we were listening to the earlier conversation about how we talk about and how we discuss and process suicide. We have got really better at talking about cancer and dealing with it, and hopefully we crack that nut with mental illness as well. But anyway, we're in a position where we can have a positive conversation about something that affects us all, and in many cases, you know, negatively. But that's where we need to go. All right, idonate.ie/fundraiser/ Greg Hughes 1. Give us a call, 07491 25000. I'm about to get into a car. It ain't cheating, but it is a hill, so I'm going to take that. Right, Donald, thanks very much. I don't know if we're going to check in a little later on, but anyway, for now, keep an eye on our social medias. We'll do some videos on the social medias at some point anyway, but for now, Donald, thanks.
Greg, thank you very much indeed. And if you heard the testimony there from Sharon, I mean, that is exactly the reason why this is an absolutely vital conversation. It's a vital service that Cancer Care West provides, and it absolutely is deserving of respect. Before we go for a break, I want to just take some of your comments. Caller says, there was a great turnout at last night's meeting in Old Town in Letterkenny, with contributions from Mary T. Sweeney and other community activists on Letterkenny's traffic issues. Sadly, there was no show from cycle path obsessed councillors and officials. Yet another slap in the face for Letterkenny residents. We spoke earlier to Anthony about the cancellation of his carers allowance. Caller says, I've been a carer now for almost 14 years. Our son is now at secondary school. He leaves the house just after 8, is back at 4. Now I have time to do things, but I find myself not qualified to do anything. As a carer, I can work 18 and a half hours, but there are no opportunities. Is there anything out there for me? And if anyone has any suggestions to help that particular caller, we'd love to hear from you. What about vitamin D as a barrier to colds and flus? It was recommended last year by the health authorities that we should be taking it from October to April due to a lack of sunshine and being outdoors. That goes back to the conversation we had about the clean air in schools and the fear that high levels of absenteeism in schools due to illness is being to a certain extent contributed to by bad ventilation and the impact that is having on our pupils. A lot of response still to the cutting down of the tree in Letterkenny, and some little pushback from some people. The people have little enough to bother about when they're talking about cutting down an old tree, says one caller. I can't believe all this drama over a stupid tree. If I had my way, I wouldn't have any trees in sight. They get out of control. I say keep chopping. And that's from a caller in the west of the county. I am not sure that if we keep chopping trees, it will be doing anything to help the environment, and certainly will be doing nothing to help us as a society. Of that, I'm fairly sure. Caller says 6 to 9 million euro being spent on greenways and cycleways between Castlefin and Lifford, hardly ever used. Meanwhile, grass is not being cut on the Lifford Road, so the verge is a metre high. So is the priority for wildflowers and long grass rather than tidy lawns and safety? Now, I know there are some areas where council is deliberately not cutting grass to create biodiversity areas and give bees and pollination and so on a chance as well. So that could be an issue in at least part of what you're talking about there, caller. Again, with regards to the tree, caller says, the council officials are a low unto themselves and treat the public with contempt over and over again. I want to go to line one. You'll have heard on the news that iCare in Inishowen is to receive an additional €200,000 per year from the HSE and the Department of Children, Disability and Equality. Joined on the line by Doreen Friel, who's the chairperson of iCare and no stranger to this programme. Doreen, good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. And I'm sure you're very well this morning, given that you've had this news, because iCare is always on the lookout, obviously, for extra cash to fund the wonderful service you're providing. This €200,000 additional per year that's been announced today, how far is that going to go?
Oh my God, Donald, if you could see the smile on my face and the faces of everybody in iCare. This is just incredible news for us. It's a game changer, no doubt about it, for iCare. Donald, it gives us stability to go forward. We are indebted to our community. You know yourself, the community has sustained us for 25 years. And without our community, we would not be here still providing the service that we do provide. We do provide an essential service for many, many families. Like, it's a lifeline to many. And relying on the community to the extent that we did they're fantastic. But we employ over 20 people now, and we just really needed this increased funding to give us stability, to retain our excellent staff for everybody. Our children rely on the staff so much, and to recruit new staff because our service is growing. You know yourself, the increase in numbers in terms of autism diagnoses, and there's a demand on our service, and we need to increase our workforce. Saying that, Donald, we'll be looking for key positions, so I would ask everybody to keep their eyes peeled in the near future for key positions in eye care. So this will make a huge difference to us as an organisation. It will allow us to reach out to even more families across the entire peninsula. We hope now that we can reach into corners of Inishowen where it may have been more difficult before for people to use our service. It allows us to have better transport resources. It's just a game changer for us. This is a huge year for eye care. You know yourself, Donal, we're 25 years old this year. It's amazing. I'd like to take this opportunity also to pay tribute to the many boards of management, boards of directors, staff, managers, parents, families down the line. I mean, we didn't get to yesterday's announcement without a lot of effort and a lot of hard work on everybody's part. So it's a fantastic announcement for us, Donal. We're just over the moon.
And the key here, Doreen, is this is annual. This is an additional 200,000 euro every year. Because part of the problem now is you've literally been living from grant to grant, from allocation to allocation, from donation to donation. And when you don't have that long-term guarantee of income, you can't really do what you want to do in terms of bringing in new staff, in terms of expanding the service. This now tells you, you're not only getting this money in 25, you're getting it in 26, you're getting it in 27, you're getting it in 28, and you can plan accordingly.
Absolutely. And that's why it gives us huge stability, Donal. You know, we can plan ahead now with our vision for eye care. It's like a new dawn for us, really and truly. I would love to pay tribute to Adele Quinn, Head of Disability Services, and her team. They have worked so hard with us. This has been a joint effort between them, the HSE and ourselves. We all want the same for our autistic community. We want the very best opportunities. We want to be able to develop our service even further. This is just huge for us, Donal. And as you say, the fact that it's annual, it just gives us such renewed energy and eye care to be able to develop and to be able to be strategic going forward. It's just absolutely fantastic. We wouldn't have got it over the line without the help of Charlie McConlogue, and I want to thank him for that, and Fionnan Bradley, Tariq McLaughlin, Jack Murray, our local elected representatives, you know, always have all supported eye care. And I think yesterday is just the result and the culmination of a lot of hard work and advocacy on everybody's part. So it's a great day for eye care. We have a children's service. We have our Sonus youth group. We have our adult service. This year, we have a newly established Parents Association. I want to pay tribute to them. They are doing great work, and there's great communication now between the parents and the board. We have reinvigorated our board. We have new members on it. We're just delighted. This annual additional funding now, Donal, is a huge endorsement for us from the HSE and huge recognition of the work that we do in eye care. It's so welcome. And we will make very good use of this money, as we always have done. I can't thank everybody enough. And really and truly, yourselves included, Highland has always been so supportive of eye care and other media organisations as well. I think we move forward now, you know, with partnership and collaboration between all the key stakeholders for the benefit of all of our families and all of our members. And our excellent staff, they now have stability. You know, they're not worrying about whether we have enough money to pay the next wages. So it's a fantastic day, Donal.
You mentioned Councillor Fionnan Bradley there. Fionnan joins us on the line. Fionnan, good morning. And eye care, Fionnan, is something that you're very, very familiar with indeed.
Oh, indeed, Donal, and good morning to yourself and to Doreen and to all the listeners. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Doreen and congratulate the board, the staff, the volunteers, the parents, families, and all of the children who use eye care and who have used it over the last 25 years. In my professional life, I would be a teacher of children with special and additional needs, and I really do know firsthand the difference that eye care makes to a lot of those children and to their families. They're a life lifeline. They really are a lifeline as a service here in Anishinaabe. And the HSE would get a hard time quite often for decisions they make and for money that's spent or people might feel misspent. But I can genuinely say that every last penny of this €200,000 is money very well spent. And it will make such a difference to those children and their families.
And you have worked yourself directly with iCare in the past, Fionnán?
Not worked on iCare, but I've taught children.
Oh, the children you have taught are also children that use the iCare service.
That's exactly it. And Doreen, and indeed the board may not know this, but the very first meeting that I attended as a councillor with a committee or a board or a group was the meeting I attended early last July with the iCare board and with Minister McConlogue. And, you know, I left that meeting that day thinking, well, this is a very easy task. And when we then went to the HSE, it was a very easy task because Doreen and her colleagues on the board had put the case across so well that day that it was just a no-brainer. That there was just absolutely no way that the HSE could continue to not fund iCare going forward. So it really made our job as public representatives very, very easy after that. And I'm just absolutely delighted to have got to today. It's been a long time coming and it really is very well deserved.
Councillor Fionnán Bradley Doreen Friel, Chairperson of iCare. Thank you both very much,
Donal,
indeed.
Just before, Donal, before we go, can I mention a couple of things that really I want to take an opportunity?
Yeah, please.
Hopefully I've thanked everybody. I just want to mention this is our 25th year and we have a celebration on Saturday the 27th of September. It's called iCabaret in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel. We would love to see everybody there. We launched in 2000 with a concert by Alton in the Gateway, and now we're going back to the Gateway for our 25th celebration. Also, we've had the nationwide cameras down over the summer, and so I would love people would look out for our piece on Nationwide, which hopefully will air end of this month, early October, we're not sure yet. And thanks again, Donal. It's a fantastic new era for iCare with this recurring funding, and just we're absolutely over the moon. So thank you to everybody.
Doreen, thank you very much indeed. Doreen Friel there, Chairperson of iCare, and also Councillor Fionnán Bradley there, Lasca Hurlock of Inishowen, MD, and a teacher of special needs as well. We're going to take a short break in a moment. We're going to be speaking to someone who starred in two of my all-time favourite films and is also a music legend in this particular region. That's coming up after these. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Just before the break, we were speaking about iCare in Buncrana and the wonderful service they provide. And something really interesting and exciting happening in Buncrana on this coming Saturday night, because MRK Live present in the Buncrana Cinema live Brona Gallagher, along with some special guests. And I'm delighted to say that Brona joins us this morning on Zoom. Brona, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, Greg's actually taking a stroll along Aranmore Island at the moment. So this is actually... This is Donal. Yeah, this is actually Donal.
Oh, Donal, I beg your pardon.
Hiya, Grand Brona. Don't be worrying about
Lovely
it at all.
Lovely to meet you. How are you, darling?
Do you know what? I am now speaking to someone, and as I said before the break, who starred in two of my favourite films. You call me what you like, Brona. Just to speak to you is an honour, I must say. I mean, Pulp Fiction and The Commitments. You know, wow. What more does one need to say? You're a legend.
Oh, listen, do you know what? I've just been in certain rooms at the right time and was just very lucky, you know, along the way and met the right people. And I'm, you know, I'm as shocked as anybody that I'm in Star Wars and Pulp Fiction, believe you me. I don't think I'll ever get just it, but just very lovely people at the time. And I mean, the Star Wars thing was one of those, you know, we all heard it was being made, obviously, when they were come back in with The Phantom Menace, Andy London. And I remember saying to me lovely agent at the time, Penny, they're making Star Wars, you know. Imagine being a star, like an Ewok or a Stormtrooper or something. And that's literally the conversation we had. And the next thing I knew, Robin Gerland, who'd cast it, had been to see a show I had done in the National in London that week. And she brought me in and we did a lovely chat. And then I got a wee part. And, you know, that was that kind of one of those just funny wee moments. And the Pulp Fiction thing was, I was in LA at the time they were casting it. And a lovely agent we were with put us forward for it. There's a few of us there hanging out in LA that summer. And the next thing I knew, I was in New York meeting Quentin. So, you know, it was one of those just crazy things. And nobody, I think, could have really predicted the success of Pulp Fiction. But Obviously, a very, very talented man, so no doubt, really.
It is one of those films that, I mean, at the time it was being made, probably people thought, yeah, it could go somewhere. I always loved listening to and reading interviews with Carrie Fisher about the first Star Wars, when she talks about even before the premiere, they're walking around the car park going, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate it. They're going to hate it. I mean, this is going to be so embarrassing. And it was anything but. I mean, Pulp Fiction, I mean, what an amazing film. But the commitments as well. And I think sometimes you don't get enough credit for your role in the commitments because, I mean, I think, you know, so much attention gets placed on Andrew Strong and the men in the group. But I think the three girls were the linchpin. They were the backbone.
Ah, the girls were great. I mean, all the characters were amazing. I think, you know, the wonderful magic of the commitments was Roddy Doyle's writing, which is always just so funny, but there's so much heart in all his work. And so, you know, the story of any struggle in class, trying to be recognized for what they are. And then just the master of Alan Parker's movies.
Yeah.
And the combining of the two, you know, that real magical moment in Irish cinema that reinstigated basically the Producers Guild of Ireland, that opened the floodgates, you know, for film at that time. It was a very rare thing that was made. You know, we had the My Left Foot, The Field. They were all in that time great, great, you know, filmmakers coming in to make work. And that movie was so, so special. And, you know, the women's roles, obviously, and it's lovely that you've said that. You're actually the first person that has ever really said that. But I think, you know, any women's stories in it, and especially women in rock and roll, which is, you know, an even more, you know, elaborate subject we can go into. But I just think, you know, both Maria and Angelina are just such wonderful, you know, actresses, and the stories that we got to tell were very, very special. And we worked so well as a unit, the three of us, you know, we're still friends. And, you know, I love them both so much. And, you know, you just have to be, you know, always that, you know, that lucky break that we all got, how grateful we all are still to have had, you know, we as kids, really, we kind of won the lotto, really, artistically, you know.
Portrayed that inner city Dublin sass perfectly. How much of that was Derry City sass in a different accent?
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's working class sass, isn't it? It's working class. I'm as good as anybody to be a part of this community and to be involved. And I knew that very well, as we all did growing up in Northern Ireland. But well, there was a very severe class issues. So, you know, I think it's the thread that you can bring through any community. You know, I often think about, you know, why I'm so in love with soul and gospel music, you know, but it's the sound that comes out of people in pain. It's the sound that comes out of people in struggle. And that's why it's a universal connection, no matter what language people are speaking. So it was only an accent to me was the issue. Because when I read the book, I thought, okay, I'm in the commitments. I mean, I had no doubt. I wish I had that confidence still as I've got older. I just felt an immediate connection, you know, an utter just sort of chemical connection to it. I thought, this is something that I just need to be seen for and get into. So it's you know, it's, as Roddy so brilliantly writes in the script, you know, you are the blacks of Europe, as in the Derry, the Dublin people at the time. And, you know, very, very funny lines, never obviously ever meant to be offensive in any way. But, you know, the parallel and his understanding of the similarity of those two communities, you know, it's almost been written out of history, but it's very, very true, you know, what happened. So I had no problem. I felt that connection as an Irish person to those people, and the fact that soul music was our music, you know, and soul music in Derry, obviously in Donegal, we had that huge, you know, love of the show bands at the time, and a lot of the musicians that we would play with here in Dublin, their parents were part of the show band community in Derry in the 60s, and Donegal, Ireland in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, you just felt an affiliation with that music.
And you could have taken, whereas a lot of people will say The Commitments is such a uniquely Dublin story, I think there's a large reality that says you could have taken The Commitments out of inner city Dublin, you could have based it in the Bogside or the Craig, and it would be pretty much exactly the same story.
Any story, 100%. It's a working class story. It's a story of the underprivileged. And that's, you know, you often wonder why James Brown was the genius that he was. You often wonder the dancing, you know, you look at soul artists and you look at the most incredible blues artists throughout the history of music. You had to be that good to be heard, because obviously the struggle was real and it was so horrific what was happening in African America. And, you know, those artists that inspired the musicians here, like Van Morrison, will always, you know, just nod his hat to the great blues artists that inspired him and the jazz artists, because those people, the suffering was so horrific that the music that they made was representative of how they were feeling. But you had to be at the top of your game to survive. And that's when you got that showmanship. That's when you got that skill in that class. So you can take it anywhere, in any community, in any, you know, any language, colour, doesn't matter. That's the problem, that it doesn't matter. But people connected, because what it is, it's soul. It's people's souls connecting on any language. Language is never a barrier. That's why music is the great unifier, and sport, you know.
A good friend of mine, Owen Callaghan, and I had a conversation about you recently because he was involved in a bump along the way. And
oh,
he said you
I
were an absolute
Owen.
Dream. Yeah. You were a dream to work with, he told me.
Oh, sure. Owen's one of the gang. He's one of the Derry Massive. He's a darling. And working very much as a wonderful now composer with my sister Louise Gallagher, who makes Blue Lights. That's their show. But I'm mad about Owen and Kitty. They're great.
Talk to me about what's happening in Buncrana on Saturday, because, I mean, it's the chance to see Brona Gallagher live is not one that comes across very often, and it's one we'd be advising people to jump on right now.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, we're making a new record, but there's always that great passion to play music, and we got the opportunity. We were invited up to play the Harvest Blues Festival in Monaghan tomorrow night, and then I just thought, people keep telling me about this beautiful new venue. Well, obviously it's been there a long time, the Buncrana Cinema, and I had spoken to Rory before, the promoters, and I just thought, you know what, maybe they could just swish us on there on the Saturday night. And the gig was free, so we planned it earlier this year, so obviously we are delighted. We're going to come back up the road, and we've got a lot of new material that we're working on, and we just want to play more live gigs. So we're going to play Buncrana with our new stuff, and you know, we have a new record coming out now at the end of October, and we just want to get up there and reconnect with the people. And you know, we do love playing live shows, and it is a great fun night out, and the band are fantastic. So you know, we just want to gather people. If you need a bit of soul on a Saturday night, no better place to come than the Buncrana Cinema. And we want to support the young promoters as well that are really trying to just get live music venues, you know, sustaining them and keeping them going, and just and doing something different and supporting, you know, independent artists like myself.
This is probably a very, very unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are you a singer who acts or an actor who sings?
I'm just an artist that loves showing off, and I'm just somebody that I love both. You know, I obviously make films and TV, but they're other people's productions, and that's a great honour to do that. But, you know, I'm a songwriter, you know, I'm a singer, and that's a huge part of me as anything. And, you know, sometimes the business can be, you know, very, very difficult to surf the music industry and stuff like that. So it's just me and my Motley Crue, my band, and, you know, but I am a songwriter and I am a singer, and that's my great, great passion. So yeah.
And the people you've worked with include Brian Eno, Maria McKee, Gary Lightbody. I mean, music business. I mean, you have worked with some of the best.
Yes, I mean, they're all friends and people that I love, but you know, we've all made records together, and then when it came to sort of me doing my own stuff, they were all hugely supportive. And Brian is a great, great friend, great supporter, and is a, you know, huge lover of the human voice, obviously. So you know, yeah, we'll do other stuff together too. And yeah, Gary's fantastic, and Maria McKee, and did a beautiful bit of work with Dave Stewart a few years ago as well, and Noel Hogan, lovely Noel from the Cranberries. No, it's great, you know. But I mean, I think what the audiences see are the last, you know, the last product is the song or the video itself, but it's all the work that goes behind that, scheduling everything, coming up with the ideas, feeling creative, feeling that you've got something to say. You know, what I always try and do is make the work, you know, more and more, you know, quicker, get it off the page quicker. But you know, you need the life experiences to write about things, and any songwriter or any artist of any stature or whatever medium you're in, you know, you need the experiences to write about things. Some people just go to a room and write, you know, 24/7, but I'm not that kind of writer. I'm trying to be more like that, and definitely the projects with Noel and Brian can sometimes be that. But basically it's about, you go away, you know, the fruit falls off the trees, the winter comes, you let the spring come, and then the creativity starts again. So that's where we're at now, you know.
Rona, really looking forward to the gig in Buncrana on Saturday night in the Buncrana Cinema, which is on the way to establishing itself as a really important live venue in the Northwest. And great to see it. Great to see live music anywhere. Doors at 7:30. You and your special guests gig, I presume,
Josie
starts
Doherty,
eight shortly afterwards.
My childhood friend, Josie Doherty and Joe are going to play a lovely set to open the show. So, but all again, all local singers, amazing, talented, you know, that just really need support. And the more people support these venues and what these wonderful young promoters are trying to do, the more these venues have a chance of getting proper funding and staying open, you know, so support the independents.
Brona, pleasure speaking to you. All the best with
thank
the album
so
when it comes out
much.
Later this year. It's been an absolute privilege. Thank you, and have a great day and have a great
thank
weekend.
Thank you. Hopefully see you at the gig. Thank you so much.
Right, take care. Don't forget, it's the last chance to win in our mega summer draw. Two chances to win big, one chance of winning €2,500 and the main prize of €10,000. This finishes tomorrow. So there'll be €2,500 given away by Lee on the Naughty Alarm Clock tomorrow morning. And on this programme, the 9 till noon show, tomorrow morning, Greg's back in the hot seat and that major €10,000 cash prize will be given away. So your last chance, as we say, to get your tickets, go to highlandradio.com, all the details there. Now, I want to go to speak to James Sexton. He's the founder of End Discrimination in Inheritance Tax Discrimination for Childless Citizens. James, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. Hello, how are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. James, there is a difference in law between children who are the direct sons or daughters of a person who passes away and nieces and nephews. And if a niece or nephew inherits, it can be quite costly.
Yeah, I was on with Greg there some months ago and obviously explained all. I know our time is very limited, so just very, very quickly, just to explain, obviously parents can pass assets up to $400,000 to each of their children. Childless citizens can pass assets up to $40,000 to each of their loved ones, which obviously is 10 times less. Our campaign group, obviously, we've been canvassing and lobbying politicians because this is discriminatory and inequitable. And obviously the budget is very fast approaching. And our campaign group would appeal to all your childless listeners listening today. There are over 1 million childless listeners in this country to make urgent contact with their local TDs. So we're talking Piers Docherty, Patrick Cope Gallagher, Padraig McLaughlin, Charlie McConnellogue and Charles Ward. Their loved ones will certainly thank them for making those calls. Since I spoke with Greg there the last time, I have been inundated with people phoning me, childless people, citizens, invariably people in their 60s and 70s, a bit older than myself, and they're trying to put their financial affairs in order. And they're also distraught regarding the financial consequences for their loved ones, that their homes will have to be sold by their nephews and nieces in order to pay the tax bills that will arise immediately after their passing, within 12 months. Perhaps I can maybe just briefly remind your listeners of the inequality and discrimination that all childless citizens mm-hmm. and their loved ones listening today will be faced. So just got two quick examples. How is it equitable and fair that a nephew or niece who inherits a €400,000 home from a childless relative will have a tax bill to pay of €118,800? The home will almost certainly have to be sold by the nephew or niece to pay the tax due. How that helps in any way to alleviate the very real housing crisis faced by younger people in their 20s and 30s clearly doesn't. And yet a child who inherits the same home from a parent will have a tax bill of zero to pay. The child, thankfully, gets to retain the home. So we're not advocating for anything to be removed from parents and their children. We are advocating for equality and the removal of discrimination that impacts every single childless listener listening today.
Very quickly, James, if this isn't addressed in the forthcoming budget, what then?
We're confident that it is going to be addressed. Now, obviously, what our concern is that the government is going to continue with the present policy of tweaking the thresholds. So they may increase the threshold A from 400,000, say, to 450,000. B from 40,000 to 50,000, and Group C from a mere 20,000 to, say, 30,000. You cannot remove a bit of discrimination. You know, we live in a republic where all citizens in this country are equal, but we're not equal in terms of our inheritance tax laws. And as I stated, so important that other childless listeners today make contact with their local representatives. We are not the elected representatives. If the TDs that I've mentioned there earlier, if they think that system is fair and equitable, then they should be able to explain it to us. If they don't, then they should be on your show next week and explaining to all the childless listeners in Donegal what it is that they are going to do on behalf of all the childless citizens in this country.
James Sexton, thank you very much indeed. That's the end of the 9th of Noon show for this morning. Thanks to all our contributors. Thanks to Caroline, who produced and took your calls here. Special thanks to Greg and the team on Aran Moore Island, in particular Shannon, who looked after all the videoing and the Zoom calls and so on. And thanks to everybody involved there. To all our contributors, a very special thanks. And most of all, to the listeners. Thank you. Greg's back in the hot seat tomorrow. But for myself, Donal Kavanagh, ahead of John Breslin around the Northwest after the news. But for now, have a very good day.